You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 and 107.3 FM. Finn's Revolution, normally aired at this time, will not be on this week. He will be back next week. Tune in for a special program coming up for the next couple of hours. Bordering Stony Brook University to the west lies a 75-acre site known as Flower Field, which is owned by a company called Gyrodyne. From the 1950s to the 1970s, the site was used to manufacture helicopters for the U.S. Navy. Since then, the buildings on the site have been used for light industry and office rental, with the remainder of the land being open space where an abundance of wildlife can be found. But that may all change, as Gyrodyne has expressed their intention of subdividing the land in order to build a hotel, an assisted living care facility, medical offices, and a sewage treatment plant. Reaction in the surrounding communities of St. James, Head of the Harbor, Stony Brook, and beyond has been almost universally opposed to this plan. Concern over the effects this project will have on Stony Brook Harbor, as well as the overcrowding of the area's small roads, has resulted in a massive campaign to stop this project from moving forward and to preserve the land, as it's the last true open space in the area. If you're in the vicinity, you'll likely see Save Flower Field signs on nearly every front lawn in the neighborhood. The situation is complicated further by the fact that the land in question lies in St. James, which is in the town of Smithtown. Literally inches away is the border with the town of Brookhaven, which includes Stony Brook. Despite its proximity and the fact that it will be severely impacted by this potential development, the town of Brookhaven is not a part of the decision-making process. Only the town of Smithtown gets to decide if the subdivision application can go forward. On March 30th, the town of Smithtown Planning Board held a public hearing. What follows are excerpts from this hearing and the board's final decision. You'll hear members of the community, you'll hear the mayor of Head of the Harbor, and you'll hear Brookhaven Town Supervisor Ed Romaine here on WUSB.
And now, I'd like to know if there's anyone else, members of the public, who would like to be heard in this matter.
Okay, so first on our list is Mr. Bohoffer.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you folks. My name is Joseph Bohoffer. I'm the chairman of the Zoning Board of Appeals for the Village of Head of the Harbor. I expect that you have read the several letters from the mayor of the Village of Head of the Harbor and the village trustees explaining the problems with the environmental impact statement and the findings. I also expect that you have received a letter from the Brookhaven Town Highway Superintendent LaSquadro with regard to his concerns and his request that the EIS and finding statement comments attributed to the town of Brookhaven be corrected. Among the problems with the EIS and the proposed findings, or maybe you would say now the formally proposed findings, to me the most obvious and complex is the failure to adequately address the required traffic study. We now know that Gyrodyne's experts testified under oath in the 2010 eminent domain lawsuit against Stony Brook University that the roads surrounding the Gyrodyne property cannot handle commercial traffic that would be generated from development of the property. They were not just speaking of Stony Brook Road. They were speaking of all of the roads surrounding the property. Gyrodyne's traffic expert testified to having studied 13 intersections in the area. He also testified that if the property were to be developed as residential property, traffic would more than triple from 2005 levels. That's 328%, his number. Amazingly, that expert also testified that if the property were developed as commercial property, traffic would increase by more than 30 times that level, 3,206% to be exact. It has become obvious that the intention of those experts was to have the court agree to appraise the property as residential rather than as light industrial, thereby valuing the property higher. They achieved that result, and we are now left with their testimony confirming that if the property were developed commercially, the area roads would be devastated. At the Town Conservation Board hearing on this matter, a town official stated his opinion that the traffic expert's testimony in that lawsuit only dealt with the 245 acres that had been taken by Stony Brook University and not the 75 acres that is a subject of the current application. His point, apparently, was that the expert was only addressing the potential traffic impact to Stony Brook Road. I'm not sure what the basis for his comments was, but it should be obvious that he was wrong because, again, that expert testified about having studied 13 area intersections. Additionally, Jaradine's appraisal expert discussed the narrow winding characteristics of both Stony Brook Road and Mills Pond Road and stated that the property was remote with no easy transportation in or out of the site and stated that the roads are not suitable for commercial development. He also said that Route 25A winds in front of the property and, quote, comes down a fairly steep curve as you head toward the eastern side of the property. He described this property as pristine and the surrounding area as bucolic. He said it is an extremely poor location for industrial purposes. Jaradine's planning and zoning expert testified that getting traffic on and off the property is a problem in that it is remote from major roadways. He even concluded that a change of zone to residential would occur. In my letter to you of October 15th, I believe that I adequately explained why that Smithtown official was wrong in his comment. In fact, it's my opinion that Jaradine itself in this trial made the case against commercial development of its own property. As important, that town official inadvertently shed light on the more comprehensive cumulative impacts issue. If the increase in traffic predicted by Jaradine's experts in 2010 only concerned the 245-acre parcel, what about the increases that would result from development of this 75-acre parcel and from the 12-acre North Wind Group parcel on Route 25A contiguous to the east, or from the Bull Run Farm immediately to the west, or from the continued build-out of the rest of Stony Brook University's contiguous R&D park? All of these properties essentially are contiguous with Jaradine's parcel right in the middle. Jaradine's application cannot and should not be evaluated as if these other properties and their likely development will not impact traffic or other issues. I checked with the North Wind website yesterday. Their proposed Stony Brook Meadows community with 108 parking spaces and a community center is still being advertised, and they invite the public to contact them for more information. That developer is not going away. On this very important issue of cumulative impacts, the only comment in the finding statement appears at the top of page 12. It calls the concerns, quote, pure speculation. It does not even mention Stony Brook University's continued build-out. To me, that is a major mistake. In fact, even the applicant states, following the 2018 DEIS regarding the issue of other planned developments, it references Stony Brook's adjacent R&D park, and this is what they said, quote, these projects have the potential to generate traffic through one or more of the key intersections by 2020, but that traffic would not have been included in the field counts, references page F-38. No explanation was given in the DEIS for this omission, and apparently none has been requested by the town. The testimony of Jaradine's experts in 2010 is completely at odds with what Jaradine represented to the town and to the public in its EIS and other more recent statements. The traffic study in the EIS is rather cryptic. It only addresses peak rush hours and frankly concludes without any logical conclusion or explanation that the traffic problems can be solved with installation of traffic signals and right turn lanes. Reference EIS page 1-7. It should be obvious that since there is such a great discrepancy between Jaradine's expert testimony and its current representations, a true traffic study is required, and it should be incorporated into a supplemental EIS. Analysis of traffic counts should not be limited to a peak morning hour, or peak afternoon hour. It should be based on daily traffic counts, thereby giving a more realistic projection, and it should cover multiple different development proposals. This is especially important because Jaradine has emphasized that the types of uses proposed would result in peak traffic at different times of the day and night, depending upon the use. Now, we could debate the significance of the misrepresentations in the EIS regarding whether the properties in the Mills Pond Historic District were simply, as they've said, near it, or in the vicinity of it. And we could also debate the significance of the conflict between the proposed development as represented in the EIS and the town's draft comprehensive master plan. The plan states that its guiding principles are, quote, to protect the natural and cultural resources and preserve, protect, and enhance the historic, scenic, and cultural and historic cultural, and architectural character of Smithtown. It calls for concentration of new high-density mixed-use and commercial development in existing downtown areas and away from heavily traveled highway corridors, and recommends that the town support these developments, quote, near transit stations while preserving community character. In that draft plan, according to the town's own study, only 1.6% of the St. James Hamlet is open space, whereas the rest of the hamlets in Smithtown average 18% open space. I have been told by a town official that in other parts of town, much open space is county and state parkland, over which the town has no control. I didn't need for him to tell me that. I grew up in Smithtown. My response to him was, and still is, the resident who wants to enjoy a day in the park with his or her family or friends really doesn't care whether that park is owned by the state or the county or the town. The important thing is that there is open space to enjoy. This parcel presents an opportunity to fix this imbalance. Finding the solution should be a major goal of town officials in your efforts to create a meaningful master plan for the future. Thus far, it's not even a footnote. So we could debate the significance of that conflict, what I consider to be a rather huge discrepancy, and whether, in light of the town's expressed focus under the draft plan, Girardin's application for development of this last large piece of open space in St. James does, in fact, fly in the face of what town officials consider to be a comprehensive master plan. However, there really cannot be any dispute as to the significance of the discrepancy in Girardin's representations in the EIS regarding impact on traffic of its proposed development compared to what Girardin's own experts testified in the 2010 trial. Although this discrepancy has been laid out to the town in writing in detail, there has been no explanation given and no explanation required by town officials to address it. The obvious question is, if area roads could not support commercial development of this property in 2010, how can they now? Is it your job to correct the EIS? I don't think so. But when you are faced with such a significant discrepancy, you should raise your eyebrows and you should scratch your heads. You should be insisting that the finding statement be corrected. In fact, you should have insisted that the EIS be supplemented with a more meaningful traffic study. My understanding, this board has now approved the proposed finding statement and will consider subdivision approval. Based upon what we now know, I believe that's a mistake and a disservice to the people who live in, work in, and travel through this area. One more point about what I believe is a materially inaccurate statement in the findings. On page 5, section 6, the town is requiring that building setbacks from Route 25A be at least 200 feet. According to one of the two covenants and restrictions recorded in 1964, the required setback is 300 feet for most of the distance along Route 25A. The additional 100 feet is limited to single-family dwellings. It's not easy to identify this area from the recorded document because there's only a meets and bounds description in the document and there's no survey attached. But I mapped it out with the help of a CAD system. Same mistake is repeated at the top of page 7 in the finding statement. These should be corrected. If anyone has any questions, I'll be glad to show you the proof on this. Lastly, I understand that the purpose of this hearing is to do what you've just done. However, you should know that Girardin officials have made it clear they want to sell their property. You should also know that more than just a few individuals in this town have been working diligently for more than 2 years in order to create a comprehensive plan whereby Girardin would be adequately compensated for its land and at the same time the horrendous problems that would arise if the property were developed will be avoided. You should also know that state and county elected officials in this area are on board with this proposal. Now, I'm not necessarily addressing this to you because I know the limitations on your authority as a board, but I urge town officials with authority to join with those state and county officials and private parties who are also interested in this and concentrate their efforts on finding the money to compensate Girardin for its property and make what I consider to be the only logical solution a reality, preservation of the open space. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ballhoffer. Appreciate your comments.
Okay, next I'm going to bring up Mayor Daugaard? Okay, we should be able to hear you, Mayor.
Okay, good. That's all that matters. Good evening, Madam Chair and members of the Planning Board. I'm Doug Daugaard, the mayor of the Village of Head of the Harbor. I am not a land use attorney, but I am reflecting the views of our village residents and maybe the greater community. So I don't understand, the view of our community is that this subdivision application is a mistake. But how was it determined that Flowerfield property located in a bucolic, historic residential and farming community should be zoned industrial? It's wrong. If Flowerfield was located within the boundaries of either the Village of Head of the Harbor or the Village of Nissaquam, we wouldn't be here. Both villages have zoning laws that are designed to protect the character of our villages from being forever changed by unwanted commercial development. But we all live in the same community. The town, as the lead agency on its application, has the responsibility to protect our community's character. We ask that the members of the Planning Board be open-minded on this issue. Follow the town's draft master plan that promotes retaining open space and maintaining the character of a community. I speak to you as a neighbor, as a resident of both the town of Smithtown and the village of Head of the Harbor. Our village is just across the street from Flowerfield. We are directly impacted by what Gyrodyne does as it liquidates. When you drive on 25A, do you know when you are in St. James or when you are in Head of the Harbor or when you are in Brookhaven? A lot of times you can't tell the difference because these areas are all part of the same community. And all the people who live in the community will be impacted by the proposed subdivision. Overwhelmingly, the residents say this proposed development is not right for our community. This is not a commercial area. All of the land uses on the north side of Flowerfield along 25A consist of low-density residential, a nature preserve, and agricultural land. Gyrodyne's proposed commercial development is completely inconsistent with the character of the surrounding land use. 25A is the primary thoroughfare servicing our village. It splits the village, and on this road are many historic structures. To emphasize the importance of the character of Route 25A corridor, the village established the North Country Road Historic District, which extends 500 feet along all property in the village along 25A. Flowerfield is located well within the 500-foot historic district that would otherwise apply if the site was in the village. Smithtown, represented by its planning board, should have the same strong feelings as our residents do for the last 75 acres of open space in the town. This property should be used to attract families for generations and put St. James on the map, not to create an eyesore with traffic lights and turning lanes. Both villages at Head of the Harbor and Nissaquam are valued and sought for their historic rural character. There are no traffic lights, sidewalks, and no street lighting in either village for a reason. The proposed Gyrodyne development right next door will detract and lower our property values. Commuters today drive north to 25A to escape driving on 347. I was just there about an hour ago. Add additional traffic on 25A and the computers will try and cut through our village. This will affect the safety of pedestrians entrancing Avalon Park, as well as the pedestrians walking on Main Street to and from the quaint Stony Brook Village Shopping Center. Now, for 5 years, our village has been pointing out our concerns to the county and to the town of Smithtown about this commercial project. 5 years. We have asked the leadership of the town of Smithtown, and we ask them again to act in the interest of our community. Tonight, the planning board represents the town leadership, and we ask you to represent the village in this important matter. We assume members of the planning board have made a site visit and understand that the area infrastructure, as Joe said, is just not suited for the proposed development. Mills Pond Road is only 19 feet wide, narrow and winding. North Country Road is only 22 feet wide and winding
and already challenged by overcapacity traffic and limited sight from the west. Added traffic signals and turning lanes that only go one way will cause more commuter aggravation despite what the applicant's traffic study tries to indicate. And what about the unsafe Stony Brook Road intersection? I haven't heard a thing about that from the DOT or from Jarvis. We have proposed a much better way that will put St. James on the map as a destination and will enhance St. James property values. The residents of St. James will truly benefit if the Flower Field property, the last 75 acres of open space, becomes an open space park. Forget for the moment that the town would have to buy the Flower Field property, just to get to the moment. Every day, the federal government and the New York State government give away millions and billions of dollars for projects. Right now, the governor and the New York State legislature, right now, are talking about a multi-billion dollar environmental bond fund package. 3, 4, 5, 6, they can't figure out how many billion dollars will be in there. But this will be a perfect venue to buy the Flower Field property. We ask that the town leadership take the initiative and ask for funding to buy Flower Field. There's no excuse not to try. Think what a park would be for the community. A large open space for all, a place for people to engage in recreation, a picnic, open-air concerts, farmers market like the Bethpage Market, where local restaurants and farms participate, walking trails, a dog park. All of these activities will attract people to the benefit of local businesses. We know that community parks increase property values. A park also protects natural ecosystems. Natural habitats for native wildlife are protected and air pollution is removed by trees. Trees also collect stormwater and limit erosion damage from stormwater runoff. Open space improves our physical and psychological health and makes our neighborhoods more attractive places to live. The park provides opportunities for parents to bond with children and for children to make new friends in the neighborhood. In today's world, more office buildings are not needed. Existing commercial spaces such as the Smithtown Mall are either empty or being repurposed. A few weeks ago, I went to CityMD at the mall. For many years, that was Toys R Us. Think about the changes from COVID and technology like Zoom, and you know why more commercial space doesn't make any sense. And you think of young people saying, wow, I want to live near an office complex and drive in traffic. Or would they more likely say, I want to live near a park. Midtown does have an extensive system of well-maintained parks, but I looked for open space parks near St. James and I found nothing. I looked for horseback riding and found in the town's recreation guide on page 33 it says, breathe in the fresh air and feel the stress disappear as you enjoy an hour-long horseback ride in the beautiful, tranquil Quinnequat River State Park Preserve. Not in St. James, but in Central Islip. A fabulous park owned by Smithtown with history, nature, concerts, trails, sports, and farm education is the 136-acre Hoyt Farm. But the Hoyt Farm is located in South Comac, not in St. James. A park at Flower Field would be a destination for our community. I'm talking about the entire Flower Field property as an open space park, not just squeezing in some green space next to a commercial development. I also want to point out that the Suffolk County Equestrian Task Force report that was created after public hearings, the report pointed out the lack of equestrian venues and the limited trail network in the county. It's causing horse owners to relocate out of state. Smithtown has a long history of riding and horse shows. Let's bring it back. The Flower Field property is large enough to handle an equestrian center to hold events similar to the Hamptons Classic. Imagine a St. James Classic horse show and how it would put St. James on the map as a destination. We have the people in our community with the expertise to create a St. James Classic if Flower Field can be saved. And saved is the right word. Long Island is almost gone. I grew up in Queens, not out here. This is back in the 1950s. I overlooked, my apartment did, Horace Harding Boulevard, a tree-lined east-west road. There were still farms in Queens back then. Horace Harding Boulevard soon became the Long Island Expressway. Most of Queens was eventually paved over, but open space parks like Cunningham and Alley Park remained. Nassau was paved over, but there was always Bethpage Park. Suffolk, as it used to be, is nearly gone, almost paved over. A chance to save the last open space in the St. James area is in your hands. We hope members of the planning board are open-minded and take into account the impact of the Jarrodyne liquidation and look for alternatives. Please help our community save Flower Field as open space parkland. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for your comments, Mayor Dalgard.
Okay, I'm going to call on Supervisor Ed Romaine.
Thank you to the planning board of Smithtown. I appreciate them. I know they have a difficult job to do. I submitted my written comments to the planning board earlier today, so I'm just going to talk about some of the elements. Not every square inch of Suffolk County needs to be developed, and this is one area that doesn't need to be developed to the maximum. We are talking about, if you look at Smithtown's new draft comprehensive plan, I think it points out that developments like Jarrodyne should not be approved at this location. Furthermore, the environmental review of this project is lacking because the supplemental environmental impact statement was not completed, from what I'm given to believe. And frankly, there was really no real review of the traffic, the hotel, the housing, the office complex, and the 2,000 car parking lot would cause. Jarrodyne, and this was pointed out by the attorney that spoke earlier, own expert testified in 2010 in a lawsuit that this site should not be developed for further because the roads can't handle traffic. I'm speaking as Brookhaven Town Supervisor because there's a lot of people in my town that are adamantly opposed to this development. We're concerned about the roads. The roads, such as 25A, is already over capacity. Mill Pond Road, I mean, if I lived in St. James and I was off Mill Pond Road, I'd be concerned of the traffic that would be generated. And Stony Brook Road is over capacity and can handle no traffic. And the intersection of Stony Brook Road and 25A definitely needs to be redone. Unfortunately, the DOT, New York State DOT, has not addressed that. Look, this huge development that's going to take place is right on the border with our town. It's within 300 feet of the Stony Brook Historic District, and will be dependent on some of the infrastructure of Brookhaven Town. It will impact the groundwater and the waterways in our town. Unfortunately, there's been very little outreach by the developer to the town of Brookhaven to address our concerns. They talk about building a hotel. What about the Three Village Inn or the Hilton Gardens of Stony Brook University? Or the Stony Brook Holiday Inn Express or the Danforth's Hotel or the new hotel that's being proposed at the Waterworks? Do we really need another hotel and will it be successful? I am concerned particularly about the traffic because I think the traffic is going to create all types of traffic jams. I'm concerned that we are building something that we really shouldn't. Other people spoke far more eloquently than I did about the lack of open space in the St. James area. This is a wonderful opportunity to say, wait a second, some of this land should be preserved. Some of this land should be a park. I think the mayor spoke to that and spoke to that eloquently. We are in absolute agreement with the mayor of Head of the Harbor, mayor of Nessaquag, Assemblyman Engelbright, County Legislator Kara Hahn, Councilman Jonathan Cornrich from Brookhaven Town, and myself. We do not think that a development of this size and the impact on the environment and on traffic is going to benefit our general area. I've written specifically about this and I didn't want to get on my soapbox tonight and kind of beat the drum on this. My written comments speak to this. But in closing, I'm asking the Smithtown Planning Board to consider the fact is that I spoke to him, other people who will speak far more eloquently than I will. But I want to remember, finally, my friend and civic leader, Cindy Smith, who fought against this project. Unfortunately, she's not with us tonight. She's not alive. But if she was, she'd be here urging you to do the right thing. I think that this projected development will have a negative impact on northeastern Smithtown and northwestern Brookhaven. I would urge you to consider what is good, not only now, but well into the future for our towns and our hamlets in this area of the county. I don't believe that this is the area where we should be developing more office space at a time when office space is no longer needed. I don't believe this is an area we should be developing a hotel when there are plenty of hotels that in the area. I don't believe that this type of development is going to benefit the community at large. And after all, land use is about intelligent use of your land so it benefits and enhances your community. This does not. I appreciate your time. I thank you for your effort. And I will just say, I know Cindy Smith is looking down on us today, hoping that this planning board and the town of Smithtown does the right thing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Supervisor Romaine.
Anybody who wishes to submit their statements to the record can do so via the Smithtown Planning Department's email, which is smithtownplanning@smithtownny.gov. I have Jeff Fisher next.
Good evening. My name is Jeffrey Fisher. I'm a 30-year resident and trustee in the Incorporated Village of Head of the Harbor. I think it's of utmost importance that no stone remained unturned in seeking alternate means to preserve this property as open space. At minimum, supplemental environmental impact study must be performed. In addition, I think that an updated traffic impact study must be performed. The thought of 25A and our entire historic corridor being overburdened with the added traffic volume and unwanted traffic signal devices is disheartening. And I think if you just take one look at Jericho Turnpike during peak hours, that should speak volumes for what we don't want 25A to become. Again, a lot's been said by by other speakers as well as Supervisor Romaine, which we really appreciate. And I would just like to ask the town to please think long and hard before approving development of this land. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher.
Okay. Next, I have Ms. Colette Porciello.
I didn't really have anything prepared per se, but after, listening to several of my neighbors, I just to sort of piggyback off of some of what Mr. Ballhofer had to say, of course, the mayor, Mr. Romaine, and Chris Hayes, I just want to point out those four speakers. I really feel that they've summed up so much of what our community feels. And as a resident of almost 30 years, we live here because we enjoy the landscape, the history, the beauty of this community, the park-like feel that we had, we're slowly losing. If this ginormous concrete industrial commercial building center debacle were to take place, not only the traffic is so obvious, we know the the incomplete traffic study, the impact has, there's endless questions. There's no clear findings. The DEIS study has, there's complete, it's so confusing to understand what the results are of that. If there are any conclusive ones, it doesn't even seem like it. I do agree with Chris Hayes that they're, the mitigating, the supplemental, that's very confusing. There needs to be, supplemental environmental study. There's so many questions there, and to move forward, it's a lot of work, I'm sure, for the board to go through all this, but the ripple out will change so many lives, and it won't just be the lives of those who are trying to sell the property and were those that the other fellow, Matty Artrick, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, from the Trade Council. I mean, if they're looking to give students who aren't even sure if they're going to college yet to have get their hands in on building, I mean, I'm sorry, that it just seems absurd, because what about their debt? I mean, what about our debt? The debt that we'll be in when all of our home values start to plummet. That's pretty much everyone's biggest investment, I would think, is their home. And anybody who lives in this general area and all of the village and a good portion of St. James will probably feel that, because there will be a thoroughfare of cars cutting through all of our community, all of our side roads, back roads, roads that I ride my bike on every day, roads that are becoming increasingly hard to do that. And with this, that will be completely off the table. To have a no left turn coming off Mills Pond as you approach 25A, I mean, where do you think those cars, that entire community off Mills Pond and through Copper Beach, that's not where I live, but I am concerned for those homeowners that will be the expressway, like the mayor was talking about, that ends up running right past your home. And I don't think that we deserve that. We didn't sign up for that when we moved here, even if you moved here yesterday or you've been here for 30 or 40 years. Nobody could see this coming, and I do realize that they have the right to do and have a vision for their property, but we do ask that you take this opportunity, which is a tremendous one, to build something beautiful, to make this opportunity to do something incredible other than more concrete. There's so much concrete and shopping centers that are just defunct. I mean, you know, there's so many other opportunities to build commercial space, senior assisted living, which also is sort of mind blowing. The expense of that, I don't know how many seniors on fixed incomes. I mean, that's another whole ball of wax, but once that gets built and then they can't fill it, then what? All of this is there, and the green is gone, and the concrete is there, and then what do you have? A ghost town. I just think it is a credible opportunity to make beautiful things, like this park-like haven, farmers markets, an equine center, as the mayor pointed out. We had sent letters, we emailed, we snail mailed, we got petitions. There are restaurants that could do some sort of dining situations out of there. You could have park rangers. So there could be a lot of other jobs carved out, not just ones for people that are in the building trade or, workers in a hotel. But if you think out of the box, there's many other jobs that can be created there. So, yes, give the opportunity to other people that are looking to stay on the island. And, you know, the struggle is quite real, as we all know. The community can use a facelift. That's fine. But a beautiful, natural one, not this plastic, say, concrete, that is just not going to attract anybody and want anybody to stay here or come visit here or use our Three Village Inn and you know, utilize what we do have here. It is going to turn people off. And certainly the homeowners, as I said, where does that put us? We're, our value of our home, we can't even get in and out of our home and driveways now with the traffic. It's just impossible to conceive that these studies could actually provide any kind of approval on that. So yes, they have to be redone. They're totally incomplete. And you know, we would just ask as residents that you please consider with a fine tooth comb how there's an, you know, other ways that this can be approached. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Porciello.
Okay, I'm going to call on George Hoffman.
Good evening, everyone. My name's George Hoffman, and I'm a neighbor who lives on the Brookhaven side of the Gyrodyne property. I'm former co-chair of the Route 25A Citizens Advisory Committee. I'm a member of the Three Village Land Use Committee, and I'm a former government official who was involved in land use for over 30 years here on Long Island. I was going to give a prepared statement, but many of the speakers that already spoke and spoke much more eloquently than I would, specifically Joe Bollhofer and Mayor Doug Delgard and, of course, my supervisor, Ed Romaine. I'm just going to make a few points that I think would add to the record here. One of the concerns I have is really the town-to-town cooperation on Long Island. We see, you know, they say no town is an island except probably Shelter Island, but we all are, you know, we all are right next to each other. We share harbors, watersheds, highway corridors. To have a disconnected planning process that looks at, you know, where one town just looks at a specific property, and especially on this one because it is directly on the border of the town of Brookhaven, the Three Village community. Part of the original Gyrodyne is in the town of Brookhaven. So we are your neighbor, though we, because of the town lines, we don't live in the town of Smithtown. But many people in the Three Village area, you know, frequently go into St. James, head of the harbor, our road networks. As you know, Long Island, we're interconnected. So I think it's really unfortunate that our planning process here, instead of town-to-town cooperation, it tends to focus on very specific, disconnected planning entities, which is what you're doing tonight. This week, one of Suffolk County's premier planners, Lee Koppelman, passed away. He was in his 90s. He was well-known, especially on Long Island and in basically in the United States. He always talked about regional planning, that you cannot just do planning in your own little neck of the woods, that everything has impacts on everybody else. And so, as you know, the Suffolk County Planning Commission, they're charged with doing regional planning. Their job is to look at all the developments that are coming in Suffolk County and try to help make them fit in so that one town's plans does not make or impact another town so that life and quality of life there is terrible. So as you know, that the, you know, the committee did not come to a conclusion on this plan. I think what I'd like to ask is that, it's pretty clear that we share, the town of Brookhaven and the town of Smithtown, and especially where we are up here, we share Stony Brook Harbor. It's half in the town of Smithtown. About a quarter of it is in the town of Brookhaven. So the water impacts on a harbor that we share. We share a historic highway. It's been talked about by John Pavasek and by Joe Bollhofer. It's the original road that General Washington took when he was president of the United States. He started in Setauket. He got up in the morning. It was in April, actually, in 1790. And he continued to drive on that road through the town of Smithtown and actually stopped at the house by the Smithtown Library. So we have a shared history, and we share the watershed. And unfortunately, I think this plan was put together with the idea that it just stands by itself without any of the impacts that will impact the two communities. We're good neighbors. Many of all our friends, we know people in Smithtown. Smithtown people know us. There's always been a sense here that Brookhaven Commons were not going to be counted as heavily as somebody in Smithtown. I think that's unfortunate, though I think when you listen to the mayor and people from the village of Head of the Harbor, they are Smithtown residents, and you can see where they stand on this development. So it would be really short-sighted, I think, for this planning board to approve the plan as it is. So I want to thank you for your time, and thank you very much for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you, Mr. Hoffman. Appreciate your comments.
Natalie Weinstein wanted to be heard, but she's having some trouble. I'm going to put her on my phone. Can you just let me know if you can hear her?
Okay, I apologize for this inconvenience to everyone, neighbors and friends who have differing opinions on this. I just want to make some comments.
I want to speak for a moment as a business owner since 1985 and a resident of the St. James community since 1973. I guess I'm a newbie. Some of you have lived here a lot longer. When I came to this town, I loved the community itself. And when I became a member of the business community, I sort of loved it even more because I was a part of something that I hope would grow that business community in St. James. At the time, the administration was not really so forthcoming in terms of change, progress, even repairs. And in 2017, when a new administration came into being, a lot of things changed. And I know that change is very hard for a lot of people. I deal with it every day in my work, so I know. But even more so, change can be for good, it can be for bad. For me, change means progress, because I always like to think forward. And as Pat Clark mentioned before, as the president of Celebrate St. James, the rest of the name of that organization is past, present, future. I think that all of us love the community of St. James, whatever you may feel about this particular project. But I think that we all are looking at it from a different vantage point. I, as a business owner and someone who has been actively involved in creating change in the Lake Avenue Historic Business District, sees the value of things that occur that are well controlled and well documented. I've also had the privilege of working with a new administration in Smithtown. Don't live in Brookhaven. And I respect the members who are contiguous to Brookhaven, who live in Brookhaven, and the executives of Brookhaven. But the Smithtown community has been my home for many, many years, and my business, thriving business, for many, many years. I've also watched a terrible decline in the business district of St. James over 40 years, and a change that has occurred in that since 2017. If you've ridden up Lake Avenue these days, you will not see speeding cars. You will not see the traffic pattern that was there before. Are the same amount of cars coming? Yes, that's true. But the control of those cars is very different. There are stop signs. There is a new street decor. There is a new tone of the town controlling certain things. Now, of course, I am aware the 25A is a state road. I'm also aware of the community that surrounds it, and it's a very beautiful one. I also believe that in the association with the Gyrodyne Corporation and their mindset, and I also believe in their association with having done their due diligence and their homework, I have confidence and the Smithtown Planning Board. I have confidence in their ability to also dig deeper. And I believe that since I've had experiences with them, with our own town already, that they are not going to look away, neglect, or in any way attempt to create something which isn't so from real facts. The facts have been given to us many times over. In my opinion, I believe that these facts are true. There is always a difference of opinion when you state a fact. You can interpret it one way. You can interpret it another way. For me, the health and strength of this business district leads to the cultural arts. And I have always believed that they are a way to build our small town into something that becomes a destination. For me, a destination means a place to connect the dots, a place for the members of the community to come and enjoy their what they pay a lot of taxes for. And it also means to attract visitors. Well, visitors like to stay in places. They don't stay long, and they may not come and go in a large amount of people all at once, but they will affect and create a better milieu for our business district, which really does need help. With the help of the Smithtown new board and the new administration, we have seen progress on Lake Avenue. It's there for everyone to see. But it's a long way in coming. We've got a ways to go. I believe that the Gyrodyne project will help us. I see that our community has many, many seniors. They don't want to leave the community. If there were a place for them to go and they sell their homes to younger families, this is the future of St. James. I also believe that the hotel can be a very large asset to our community because it's nearby to everything that we need if we are attracting business. But it's not there operating at many hours during the day. We have the Flower Field catering hall. Yes, there is traffic when people come to the catering hall, but it's in the evening when there isn't any other traffic. I believe that traffic can be controlled, and I believe that they've made a way to do so. Now, there are varying opinions about the future of our town, but I know one thing. We cannot compete with the big box stores if we don't create an environment for people to want to come to our community. They will not come. We have the historic 25A district, and they ride right up the road, but they don't come into St. James right now. As a business owner and a person who's lived in the community for so many years, I see the value in this project, and I believe that we can trust in our government to handle it properly, the Smithtown government, not the Brookhaven government. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Ms. Weinstein.
And I'm going to call on James Scully.
Fantastic. My name is James Scully, and a lot has been said here tonight, so I will keep my comments pretty brief. But I just would like to thank Mr. Bohofer, Mayor Daugard, Supervisor Romaine, and John Pavicek for their comments, which I completely agree with and support fully. I am a lifelong resident of this area, like Natalie Weinstein, love this community, and very, very concerned about this development. I believe it is the wrong place for this development. There are better uses for the property, and unfortunately, as this goes forward, there will be no turning back, and it will change our community forever to the detriment of our residents. I also very aware that a very large number of Smithtown, St. James, Head of the Harbor, and Nissaquag residents share my individual concerns. And that's really all I wanted to say. But, again, I totally support Mr. Bohofer, Mayor Darby, Supervisor Romaine, and Mr. Pavicek's comments. So thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments.
All right. We have a couple more people. If you can, sir, if you can just state your name for the record.
Okay. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So my name is Tom Svacek. So, first of all, thanks for hearing me this evening, and I appreciate all the comments that everyone's made. I would like to weigh in on the side of the compromise plan forwarded by Joel Bohofer. I am a 27-year resident of St. James, and as part of my business, I travel Long Island extensively, and my days are long and hard, and there's nothing like coming home to St. James. This is a really, really beautiful part of Long Island, and it's very, very special. I think that everything we can do to preserve the historic corridor of 25A is really worth considering. I think that changes are easy to make, and they are somewhat difficult to undo. With the stroke of a pen, it's very easy to approve a development, and as prior speakers have said, not so easy to undo. So with all due regard for all those concerns, I think we should take careful consideration and move at a considered pace. We can always build things. I'm a builder. We can always build things. But it's not so easy to unbuild them. And our character here, the quality of this environment, you know, we pay a lot to live here, and there's a reason why. It's really special. So I want to thank everyone for hearing me this evening, and I'm looking forward to see what happens next. Everyone have a good night.
Thank you. Appreciate your comments.
All right. So next is Kathleen Diana.
My name is Kathleen Diana. I'm a 25-year resident. I live in the village of Head of the Harbor. I've been on the Zoning Board of Appeals for 20 years. And I just wanted to go on the record tonight to say that I am totally opposed to this development plan. And I urge the planning board not to approve the preliminary subdivision because of all the points that have been pointed out very eloquently by Mr. Bohofer, Mayor Dalgard, and Mr. Pavichek this evening. I think they brought to light that there are many flaws in the final environmental impact statement as well as the CEQA findings statement that was issued. A few of them that I noted, basically one of them was the issue on the traffic. I mean, the traffic is huge, and one of the conditions that you wrote in the finding statement were you're going to limit the trips to 382 peak hour AM trips and 538 peak hour PM trips. That's just an unrealistic condition that's being put in the findings, which I'm not sure how that's going to be monitored. The other one, too, is even in the one of the conditions is that the natural buffer along 25A would remain the fence. That was one of the conditions in your findings. Well, if you've driven by there recently, you've noticed that a large part of that fence has been removed and replaced, and a lot of the buffer is already gone. So there's a condition that's, you know, not going to be able to be met. The other thing, too, is I know that Mr. Collado was saying in the initial presentation, you know, we're talking about all this open space on the property. You have the 75 acres, and we're saying, well, you're only developing 25 of the 75. Well, that sounds really good, but when you look at the numbers, and I did the calculations, once you subtract out the catering hall, which it's not even owned by Gyrodyne. They sold that years ago. So you have 12 and a half acres that's not even theirs that they don't have control over. And then you subtract out the land that the open space that is required due to the covenant, either the 200 or 300 foot setbacks from 25A. And then you take out the land where there's the big pond. You're really basically developing the 25 acres is the remaining land. So you're developing everything that you're able to develop. There's no big concession here. So I just wanted to say that I do support the compromise plan that's been proposed by the St. James, head of the Harbor Neighborhood Preservation Coalition, and is being supported by many elected officials now. And I think that the Smithtown Planning Board would be doing a disservice to the community by approving the preliminary subdivision right now. And I hear the business owners, and I understand their concerns. They want more people. They want more traffic. They want people coming and going because it will support their businesses. But I think you really have to listen to the people who live here 24 hours a day and look across the street and see this development in this property, because we have to live with it. And like others have said, once you develop this, there's no turning back. And this open space will be gone forever. And it's one of the last remaining open spaces. And I think we all need to work together really hard to do everything possible to keep it open and preserve it. So thank you for giving us the opportunity to speak tonight. We really appreciate it. I understand it's been a long evening for everybody, but thank you.
Thank you for your input, Ms. Deanna.
Okay, Arlene Goldstein, I'm going to just call on you.
My name is Arlene Goldstein. We moved to Smithtown years ago to raise a family, and I lived there with my husband and children for 26 years. And then we started to look for a retirement home for us, and we came to St. James, and I would drive around and look for places where I thought we would be happy in our retirement, and I came to Harbor Hill Road, and I just fell in love with the neighborhoods, with the area, loved the history here in St. James. I'm an artist, and since I retired from teaching, I became very active in the community. I was the president of the Arts Council, and later did many other things. I was instrumental, of course, you may know this, in having the supervisor designate Lake Avenue as a historic district. And I'm very proud of that, and I keep working towards that goal. I want to quote Joni Mitchell. I'm sure we all know her. She wrote a wonderful song. Now, as I said, I'm an artist. I'm not a singer, so I'm going to just read it. They paved paradise to put up a parking lot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got until it's gone? Those are words that are so important to me. And let me just show you my artwork that I did. It's of a youngster flying a kite in open space. We can't, we mustn't let this Gyrodon project go ahead the way the people that own it now. We have to think of years ahead, years down the road. And when it's gone, as you've heard other people say, when it's gone, it's gone. We'll never get it back. And we live here because we love the area. And as an artist, and I have many, many artist friends who live here. We all love it. You don't have to be an artist to appreciate the trees, the grass, even the deer in my backyard, and the herons. I'm so afraid that we will lose all of that if Gyrodyne goes ahead with their plans and if the town supports them. So I'm begging all of us to please think of what we've got. We don't want to lose it. And I heard Colette give some wonderful, wonderful comments about there are other jobs that will come, and they don't have to be construction, and they won't be construction jobs. So think about what we've got now, and think about what we'll have if this project goes through. It will be a disaster to all of our lives, and I'm very fearful of it. Thank you for the opportunity, and I just hope that we'll remember Joni Mitchell. You don't know what you've got until it's gone. Good night.
Thank you for sharing, Ms. Goldstein. Moving on, in the matter of subdivision preliminary plat approval, number 1178, map of Gyrodyne, LLC, I move that we adopt the resolution as read in accordance with the recommendation of the Planning Department.
Aye, thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None? The motion is adopted. Thank you.
What does that mean?
They had very good speakers against the Gyrodyne.
Okay, and moving on again, I move to adjourn this meeting.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None? The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Nicole, nice job.
Thank you.
Yes,
Nicole. I second that, Nicole. Very nice.
And Nicole, thank you for everything. I don't know what we would have done without you.
You're very, very well organized.
You're the best. Thank you, Nicole.
Yeah,
thank
Nicole,
you.
As usual, great job.
You miss you at every meeting.
Yeah.
Aw, well, I guess pretty soon we'll all have our...
Guys, we're still live.
Hello.
This is WUSB Stony Brook. You've been listening to excerpts from a March 30th meeting of the Town of Smithtown Planning Board concerning the Gyrodyne complex in the village of St. James, Town of Smithtown. And despite hours of testimony opposing the project, as you just heard, it was approved unanimously. Joining us on the phone is Joe Ballhofer and Judy Ogden from the St. James Head of the Harbor Neighborhood Preservation Coalition. Joe, Judy, welcome to WUSB.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us on.
Were you surprised by that unanimous vote, despite all the testimony that we've been listening to?
You want me to answer that?
Sure, go ahead.
No, not surprised. Very, very disappointed. But then again, very disappointed in the entire process for the last year or more. They had their decision before they heard any of us. They even voted on the approval of the environmental finding statement before any public comment. Apparently, they're allowed to do that. So it was not a surprise.
That seems incredible that they would decide before even having a public hearing. Is that standard behavior?
I really don't know. I'm not an expert in this area.
Mm-hmm. How did the two of you get involved in this this campaign?
Well, I know Judy as a trustee of the village, and in my capacity as the chairman of the Board of Zoning Appeals, we've had some interactions, and also as residents, et cetera. And we came to have a like mind a few years ago. I had been kind of on the front line of this, sending letters for the last few years, and Judy suggested that we get together, and there were three other village residents, two other officials who joined with us. We ultimately formed a core group of seven, and we incorporated. We're a not-for-profit. You know, donations are tax-deductible, and hired a lawyer, of course, because they've left us with no alternative but to do what we're doing. That is, oppose this decision of the town with litigation and, of course, work on a an alternative plan, which I think we have a very good one.
Yeah, we're going to get into the details of that in just a couple of minutes. I'm curious, though, you've lived in the neighborhood for a while. How has the can you tell us something about the history of the Jardine property, how it's affected you, and when you first became aware of these plans?
Well, yeah, I grew up in Smithtown. For about a year and a half, I commuted from my home to Stony Brook as an undergrad, lived on campus. I live for over 20 years now directly north across 25A, about a half mile north of the property. So between just going to my business in St. James and bringing the kids to school in Three Village and activities and obviously everything else, we passed by this property every single day, more than twice a day, most often. And I can tell you that I was just thinking about this the other day. When you leave the St. James Business District and travel east on 25A, it's essentially the same as it was when I was a kid. 1967, we moved to Smithtown. All the way up until you reach the, you know, the Stony Brook commercial center near the railroad tracks. And even at that, it hasn't changed that much. So this is a very well-protected area, pristine area, obviously two lanes, and it can't be widened for various reasons. But the thing that has changed over the years dramatically is traffic. And now they're looking to pile it on to really a degree that nobody could comprehend. And it's going to be unsustainable. There's no question in my mind.
Well, on that matter, let's say somebody is listening right now and they're driving in the area. If this project were to go through, how would their lives change?
Well, they would be probably using Google Maps to find alternate routes. I don't know how else to say it. As it is now, there have been, you know, the normal construction delays, et cetera. If they're putting in a new telephone pole or doing something to close one of the two lanes, people, including myself, take alternate routes, and those alternate routes are by and large through the village of Head of the Harbor, which I don't know if you've ever driven through it, but it's a very, very narrow country lane village. And, of course, you know, there's Avalon Park directly across 25A, right up to the water and down to the duck pond, and a lot of pedestrians at Avalon Park. So it's not a good place to be developing a property, and that's why we're doing what we're doing.
Now, Head of the Harbor is an incredible place. And in fact, I think the only way to really go through the roads there is by bicycle.
Yeah.
Because they're so narrow, so hilly, and the thought of traffic going through there is simply terrible. Now, Judy, I know you're from Head of the Harbor. Can you tell us how you got involved in this?
Sure, thanks. Yes, I'm a trustee of the village. And actually what happened was a little over a year ago, some of the village residents showed up at a trustees meeting concerned about the proposed subdivision application and came to our board asking if something could be done about it. Among the people was Larry Swanson, and a noted environmentalist here in our community, a specialist on water, and Stony Brook Harbor, who has passed since taking this on, sadly. You know, I just think of him as we try to honor what we're trying to do, which is preserve the open space that we have. And that's how I got pulled into doing this. And actually, one of the things that happened was at the time we were looking at the proposed development, Town of Smithtown was putting together a draft comprehensive plan, which is sort of a roadmap on how you're going to look at your town and work at developing it over the years moving forward. And what happened was they wanted to have each of the little hamlets within the town be able to have a Zoom meeting, because, of course, this was the time of COVID. So we were able to have Zoom meetings to comment on the draft comprehensive plan. And a few of the trustees and I prepared some comments in how the draft comprehensive plan and this proposed development were in conflict with each other. And in doing that, actually, we ended up meeting other residents in the St. James community who came on board as well, concerned about the Gyrodyne project. And that's really how the coalition ended up forming and how we ended up with this joint coalition combining St. James with Head of the Harbor. Because of all of us who met on a Zoom meeting for the town to comment on how upset we were and how in conflict this proposed development was to our area. I think the idea of having it is, you know, you can have this kind of development, but part of the job of leadership is to look at the community and think about where things make sense. Where does it make sense to have these things happen? Having the proper support coming in and out of the community road-wise, how are you going to get there? How are people going to get there? How are you going to manage traffic? You know, one of the things I did was I prepared a Zoom presentation, a PowerPoint presentation, which is actually on our website. If you Google Save Flower Field Fairgrounds, you will see our St. James HOHNPC.org come up, and you can go there and get a lot of information and learn more about what's being proposed and give us and hopefully provide some support for us, because moving forward we actually need donations for our legal fund. But one of the things that I found when I began to look and dive into the town records was old notes on the comprehensive plan that was written back in the 50s and the 60s. And remarkably, the things that were being talked about then in their comprehensive plan are the same things we're talking about now. And the funny thing was they used a drive-in as an example of, oh, if you're going to plan a drive-in movie theater, you know, you have to locate it at a spot where when people go to leave, they're all going to be able to get out and there's going to be good flow of traffic. And I thought, my, how things haven't changed and how they've changed over the decades, right? Here now they're trying to propose this development that's going to have a lot of activity in it, in a community where, gee, when people get out and they need to get up and down the streets and get around, how are they going to be able to do that? We don't have the roads for it.
That's incredible. Were they actually planning a drive-in for the Gyrodyne project?
No, but that was back in the 50s when I was reading about it. That was the example they used back then.
Uh-huh.
Here now, this is the, you know, what we're dealing with now. It's not a drive-in, but instead it's assisted living facilities, it's a hotel, it's medical buildings. And what's even more interesting is, you know, this is a conceptual idea that they've put forward. Later, if the subdivision was to go through, what would then happen is they would sell off the lots, and we don't know what actually could happen. You could end up with just lots of office buildings and even more activity than what's being proposed, because it's a conceptual idea. So it could even be even greater than what's being proposed.
So what they're talking about now, it's not something specific. It's just basically they want permission to be able to do things like that.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, Emmanuel, when Judy was talking about the drive-in way back when, it reminded me that in the 1970s, Allstate Insurance Company was proposing to develop its regional headquarters on Route 25A directly across the street from this Gyrodyne property. And, I mean, now it's inconceivable that they could even have considered it, but
this would have been on the northeast corner of 25A and Shep Jones Lane, which is that narrow country lane that becomes a dirt road as it goes up north into Avalon's Park. So the same type of building that you see off of North Ocean Avenue, that's now the Brookhaven Town headquarters, that was Allstate's regional headquarters. It was built over there rather than over here, and it was because of the Village of Head of the Harbor and other area residents coming together and suing and saying, you're not doing that here.
It's incredible to go back in history and see some of the ill-advised proposals that never happened, such as I think there were 3 nuclear power plants planned for Long Island. There was a 25A bypass. I don't know if you remember that proposal. All kinds of ideas for construction. And I think it was Brookhaven Town Supervisor Ed Romaine who said that not every bit of Suffolk County has to be developed. And I think that's something that people tend to forget, especially people who own vast tracts of land.
Yeah, absolutely right.
So,
go ahead.
If I could, one of the things that's happened through this process, we've been very vocal in trying to express specific concerns with the town planning and this proposal and why they're in conflict. And unfortunately, as things keep getting pushed forward, now we're left in a position where, you know, what is our next step? What can we do? And so now we are preparing to take further action and file a petition with the town expressing our concerns. We want to hope to slow this process down, because remarkably, behind the scenes, we've had a lot of conversation with various public and private individuals where we're trying to look at solutions. We've put together a compromise plan saying, gee, okay, maybe we can't get the entire property bought and preserve all the open space. Let's allow the space that's been developed already to remain. Let's try to preserve the space that has not been developed. And so one of the things that we've put forward is this compromise plan. You can find it on our website. If you go to Google Save Flower Field Fairgrounds, the St. James HOH NPC, which is the Head of the Harbor Neighborhood Preservation Coalition, .org will come up, and you can go and see what we're proposing. And what's really exciting is we have people that are very interested in pulling together the funding necessary to preserve the open space. And so, you know, gee, if we can't preserve it all, let's have a compromise plan and try to preserve what's there that has not been developed. And that's our goal at the moment.
Well, if I understand correctly, Gyrodyne seems to want to sell the land and be fairly compensated for it. Is that the extent of their interest? Are they married to the idea of having a hotel and a medical center, or would they just be happy if somebody just gave them a bunch of money for the land?
Well, they're definitely interested in selling the property. They've made that publicly known, and it is a publicly traded company. This has been their plan for years now. But the concept of what might be built there, although they're not wedded to it, is an interesting one, because they're a publicly traded company, we can see their SEC filings. And a year ago, there was a company that owns Benchmark Senior Assisted Living. They built an assisted living facility on 25A near the Bull as you go west across from St. Catherine's Hospital. And that company, Benchmark, or one of its affiliates, was in contract with Gyrodyne to buy 9 acres. And I don't know if it was at all because of our efforts and the publicity and all that, but Benchmark pulled out of that contract. And I guess they got their money back. Whether they would be interested in sticking around and having a new contract if the subdivision is approved finally, I don't know. But, you know, they talk about these just being placeholders. We have to put something in there, a hotel, no hotel, we don't know. But certainly Benchmark is in the business of building and operating assisted living facilities. So, you know, that kind of fell on a little bit deaf ears as far as I'm concerned. But, yes, they want to sell their property. It's just a question of how much. And I've had some conversations with a representative of Gyrodyne, of course, nothing binding, but we have a general understanding as to the value of the open space. You know, you know that this plan is 75 acres, right?
Right.
So the 75 acres is comprised of about 12 acres that is owned and has been owned for some time by the catering facility. Gyrodyne sold that off years ago, but the 12 acres is included in the 75 for the calculation of sewage discharge. Okay? So if you take out the 12 acres for our purposes, about 20 of the remaining 63 acres is developed with those old white decrepit buildings that you see when you come in off of Mills Pond Road. The remaining 43 acres is what we're trying to preserve. And ideally, it would be, yes, let's preserve the whole 63 acres. Let's tear down those buildings and let's make a great park and all that stuff, I guess. I mean, that's certainly a feasible alternative if the money is there. But I think that we would have been people wouldn't have taken us as seriously if we had just said, hey, let's go ahead and preserve the whole 63 acres. The next question is, sure, where's the money? Okay, so that's what we've been working on. And unfortunately, the town of Smithtown has ignored our request to be a party to this alternative plan, to even consider it. Their attitude for the last year, at least to me, has been, we have nothing to do with this. And I reminded them that, yes, you do, because if you approve this, then you're going to be in litigation also. I mean, an Article 78 proceeding is the vehicle to sue a municipality for its municipal decision. So the town of Smithtown obviously is going to be a respondent in this Article 78 proceeding. I would rather not have to do that. I grew up in this town, you know. I love this town. I think the government is otherwise doing a very good job here. But this is a very, very bad mistake. And once you know that Gyrodyne just wants to sell its property, then you should be finding a way to pay them for their property. Let's get an appraisal, and let's work with the county government, who now seems to be on board with this, representatives of the state government also, and just find a way to make this a palatable solution. Exactly what the open space would be used for, I'm not sure. We have some thoughts, you know, passive uses. But thus far, Smithtown just went full speed ahead, and obviously the litigation is our only alternative here, because I don't know if you know, but the statute of limitations on the Article 78 proceeding is 30 days. So essentially the clock started ticking on March 30th.
So if I could interrupt here for a moment, if you go to, say, Flower Fields Fairgrounds, to our website, we're accepting donations, and you can help fund our legal fund as we move forward with these proceedings. The other thing you can do for people that are listening and wondering, you know, what can I do, as well as supporting us. And by the way, those lawn signs that you see are going to change, and you're going to see, say, Flower Fields Fairgrounds join the fight. And with a donation of $25, you can get a lawn sign. So I encourage people to get on our website, make donations. The other thing that you can do is you can contact your own local officials and let them know that you're in support of the compromise plan. So for people living in Smithtown, you can get in touch with the town supervisor, Ed Wernheim, or the council, town council members, and send them an email, write them a letter, call in, and let them know you support the compromise plan. Because the more they keep hearing from our local residents, the more noise you make, you know, as they say, you know, the squeaky wheel, you know, gets the attention. So we need you to speak up. We need you to keep speaking out. You need to let them know how you feel about it, because they need to know about the rest of us that are out there that feel this way about the development.
We're talking with Judy Ogden and Joe Ballhofer on the development of the Gyrodyne property in St. James, adjacent to to Stony Brook. In fact, that's something that I think a lot of our listeners are concerned with, because we talk about the town of Smithtown making this decision, but literally the property borders on the town of Brookhaven, and increased traffic and development, even sewage, is going to have a profound effect on the town of Brookhaven. Now, does the town of Brookhaven have any input on this whatsoever?
Not legally. This is Smithtown, like you said. And it's unfortunate that you bring up sewage. The Gyrodyne people for a few years now have been tying the beautification and the development and redevelopment of the business district on Lake Avenue in St. James to the installation of a sewage treatment plant and the approval, of course, of Gyrodyne's plan that they would possibly, they never committed to it, but possibly take this sewage. Now, I think that's the tail wagging the dog. There's a dry sewer line in Lake Avenue. As you know, Lake Avenue became really beautiful job that they did on the town, on the town's part. But the concept of accumulating the sewage, not only from the existing buildings at Gyrodyne, but from the development of new buildings and from the business district of Lake Avenue, accumulating them in a sewage treatment plant at the northeast corner of this property is, to me, crazy. That's straight downhill to Stony Brook Harbor from there. And Gyrodyne makes it sound like, what they even said, the president of Gyrodyne said, you should have wished that we did this last year, or, you know, that it should have been done already because we're your savior and all that stuff, which is baloney. Sure, if you're going to develop any property, you have to have a sewage treatment plant. But this is not the place for it. As a matter of fact, a couple of months ago, the town of Smithtown asked the county of Suffolk to request proposals from contractors for studies of other locations for the Lake Avenue business sewers treatment plant. So there are other locations to the south and other various places that are more likely to be the recipient of business sewage from Lake Avenue. And to me, it's a very bad idea to say, oh, let us have our development because then maybe we'll take your sewage.
Yeah, when you say it like that, it doesn't sound very nice at all.
No, not at all. Whatever's there now obviously is operating on septic systems, cesspools, et cetera. So a sewage treatment plant is always an improvement over existing discharge. But to say that we're going to have a sewage treatment plant and accumulate a whole bunch of other sewage there and including new development sewage, to me, it's such a hollow argument.
Well, what's worse is the sewage treatment plant that they've proposed is large enough to handle what's there on site. And part of what their response was when asked if they were going to be able to hook up the Lake Avenue district was, we'll see about it later after we get our approvals. They've claimed that the system that they're putting in is going to be developed in such a way that they can build out components and expand. But our coalition, the St. James Head of the Harbor Neighborhood Preservation Coalition, we've continued to tell, to say that it would be better to have a sewage treatment plant that's further in the center of the island so we don't have to worry about the sewage infiltration into Stony Brook Harbor. And what is really remarkable is they are looking at other options, and there are other options in the works at the moment being reviewed and discussed. So it's exciting to know that other options do exist, and Lake Avenue is not dependent on Gyrodyne's development in order to get the sewage treatment that they're looking for. And one of the reasons why they're looking for it is so that there can be growth on Lake Avenue and buildings that are limited by their ability to handle sewage at the moment. Once they are part of a district, then they can, like restaurants, have the ability to expand. So that's important for the business districts on Lake Avenue, but there's other ways to go about it. And it was a false premise that was being sold.
Now, Judy, you mentioned the website before. What is the website people can go to?
So the website, if you Google Save Flower Field Fairgrounds, it will come up. The website is stjameshohnpb.org.
Okay. And you're part of the St. James Head of the Harbor Neighborhood Preservation Coalition. Is that organization, did that start as a result of this, or did it exist before?
Absolutely started as a result of this. And the way it started was when a bunch of us met on a Zoom meeting that the town was having when we were able to respond to the town's draft comprehensive plan. And a bunch of us met that lived on Mills Pond Road and in St. James and the village Head of the Harbor, all coming on board to that Zoom meeting to discuss the same concern, the proposed subdivision application for the Gyrodyne site. We don't want to see the building done there. And, you know, that site has interesting history to it because actually back in the 60s, the town kind of snuck through privately without having public meetings a change in zoning. And that was originally, you know, the Flowerfield property was actually a place where they were growing flowers and growing seed. There was acres and acres of land where flowers were grown to develop seed that would then get sold. And it was always residentially zoned, and then they changed it back in the 60s to the L1, which is light industrial.
And, of course, there's the history of building military helicopters.
Yes, that's true.
Yep.
Now, adjacent to the existing Gyrodyne property is additional property that used to be part of the Gyrodyne complex that was taken over by the University at Stony Brook by eminent domain.
Right.
Do you think if that hadn't happened, the situation would be very different today?
Yes, I do. Let me put it this way. Back in the mid-90s, I was the president of the Chamber of Commerce in St. James for a couple of years, and we invited, or they requested, Gyrodyne requested to come to speak with us with a presentation. And it might have been as late as 97, 98. They proposed a residential community with a golf course, which, you know, sounds nice, and I knew that they had to do something with their property. I mean, they had 308 acres. At that time, they still owned the 12 acres that they sold off. And we were listening to their proposal and getting concerned. I didn't know what to think about it, but there were two head honchos, so to speak, not the president of Stony Brook University, but two of the, I think Shirley Kenny was the president then, maybe it was Marburger, I'm not sure. But anyway, they were there, they identified themselves, I knew who they were, and I said after the presentation, when they had some kind of comment, I said, these folks over here represent New York State, and it's just a coincidence that this university is a public university. So New York State is king, and if they want this property by eminent domain, then they take it. It's just a question of how much they have to pay Gyrodyne for it. So we really should listen to what they have to say. And sure enough, you know, the wheels started turning after 2000, and in 2005, they paid Gyrodyne about $26 million for the 245 acres, and then there was a trial, and you may know the rest. They had to pay a whole lot more than that. So that's what happened with that property. Stony Brook took it. They're building out their research and development park, and we have no real control over that. How much more of that development is going to occur is anybody's guess. I'm just, you know, I'm happy that there's no outflow into Mills Pond Road from that and onto 25A, but I can tell you that I regularly travel Stony Brook Road, and you know what the intersection is. There's a traffic light there, and just as an example, I don't know if they're ever going to redo it, but if you're heading north on 25A, there's no left turn lane into this facility, and if somebody, even one car is looking to turn left, at certain times of the day, there's a whole line of cars backed up behind that person. It's just a very, very poor design. And
you
know,
mean northbound, northbound on Stony Brook Road, you mean?
Northbound on Stony Brook Road.
Right.
Behind a person looking to turn left into their R&D park.
Mm-hmm. And that was where a lot of the COVID vaccines were being given out, so there was certainly a huge crowd trying to get into that complex.
Exactly. It was a head-scratcher. I couldn't understand it. Maybe they're going to fix it someday, but it is a narrow roadway at that point. So I guess the answer to your question is, yeah, things would have been different. I don't know what they would look like exactly. Maybe somebody would have stepped up and bought the whole 300 acres or something if we were at the point then that we are now where there's a preliminary subdivision approval. Again, Gyrodyne has made it clear they want to sell their property. They're not going to be in the business of developing these parcels, building buildings on these parcels.
So our hope is, sorry, our hope though is by having this compromised plan and trying to buy the open space and preserve it. I mean, so one of the things we can look at is what could this possibly turn into in the future? And what's exciting is you could think of it as a hub of paths, walking paths and bike paths that could ultimately connect Stony Brook's space, open land space, and the university with even St. James and then over to Avalon Park. It's a unique location, and it's a hub that would really kind of allow people the ability to connect in many different ways. The potential is so exciting.
And this is something that wouldn't cost taxpayers, right?
Right.
Right. Judy's got a really good point. I've been speaking with Assemblyman Engelbreit, we all have for a couple of years, about this. And he and I agree that if this property were preserved, then the folks at Avalon Park might be interested in maintaining it. Don't know about ownership, but they own the property on the west side of Shep Jones Lane all the way from 25A up to the water. And then on the east side of Shep Jones Lane, they own those large fields right on down to the Stony Brook Duck Pond. So our thought is potentially that there could be a pedestrian underpass under 25A that would connect this property with the rest of Avalon's property. As a matter of fact, Avalon has grown and become so popular that on nicer days, the parking situation is horrendous. And this would alleviate that. This would provide as much parking space as we really would want.
Can you tell us something about the history of Avalon?
Well, Avalon is owned by the Simons Foundation. I think it was sometime in the late 1990s that the first parcels were purchased, and they continued to buy more parcels. Anybody who hasn't been in there would really do themselves a treat by going through. It's a first-class passive-use park, walking trails only, and the signage, the irrigation, everything is really top-notch.
Now, I know there was a part of the hearing. We didn't air this part, but one of the proponents of the Gyrodyne development plan was saying, well, there's already this park called Avalon. It's nearby, and basically you should be happy with that. How do you respond to that kind of statement?
I don't know who said that, but there were only three speakers in favor of Gyrodyne's development. One of them was the president of the Building Trades Council, and to his credit, he identified himself as such, so his angle was pretty clear. The other two women were from this organization called Celebrate St. James, and frankly, the president of Gyrodyne is a key member of their organization, has been from the beginning. So I don't know if one of them said it, but the concept of open space preservation is really not the only issue here. We're talking about preservation of groundwater, preservation of the harbor, and importantly for me, the no-brainer where nobody has to be an expert on this, traffic. Okay, if you've lived here long enough, you know the difference between traffic levels now and 20 years ago, and we're saturated. And it just, to me, an irresponsible attitude to say that Gyrodyne being developed is going to be the best thing for downtown Lake Avenue, St. James. It's nonsense.
Yeah, I see that, and even the word development just doesn't seem accurate because it's really more destruction than development.
So a couple of things I might like to add. When we take a look at the reason why we call it Safe Flower Field Fairgrounds is this property has been used for many different things over the past couple decades, which includes having shows there. There was just a car show there the past weekend, and they've had dog shows there. And the other thing that we're proposing is the ability to hold horse shows. Horse shows, Smithtown has a extensive horse community and horse history, and the land and open space that's available for holding horse shows is very limited. And so the idea that this could be a space that might be used for such kind of public events that people can come to and gather. The other thing that happened when I was working on putting together the PowerPoint presentation you can find on our website, if you Google Save Flower Field Fairgrounds, you'll find our website will pop up, St. James Head of the Harbor Neighborhood Preservation Coalition, and you can take a look at the website there. But one of the things that has happened over the years with that the fairgrounds, with St. James in itself, is I looked at what the town was saying about open space and parklands, and they looked at all the different hamlets, and they looked at the amount of park space, open space, passive and active use parks in each of the hamlets in the town of Smithtown, and St. James had the least amount proportionally to everybody else, significantly less. And so we at St. James are missing having open parklands and park space. So to me, it was a no-brainer. I know that our town supervisor, Edward Wertheim, talks about wanting to work with the environment and preserve and create parks. And one of the numbers, the top concerns that residents that were surveyed for the town's draft comprehensive plan had, the concerns that the residents had, number one was the quality of parks and that there would be parkland space.
Mm-hmm.
So to us, preserving the space and creating a park is a no-brainer.
I found it interesting in the hearing that there was opposition by the mayor of Head of the Harbor, by the Brookhaven supervisor, but nothing really from anyone representing St. James or the town of Smithtown. Is that just a coincidence, or is there something more nefarious here?
Well, wait a second. When you say no one representing St. James, I'd like to think that I'm one of the people who represents St. James.
Yes.
Listen, St. James has its organizations, and I mentioned one of them before, Celebrate St. James, okay? I've had conversations with some people from that organization, and I'm not sure what their real end game is, except that some of them believe that Gyrodyne needs to be approved so that Lake Avenue can have a sewage treatment plant hooked up to Gyrodyne. And that was the way that this project kind of was presented to the town of Smithtown, to the residents of the town of Smithtown, not only by Gyrodyne, but by the government of Smithtown. Unfortunately, I don't know how else to say it, but it has not been an objective governmental review. There have been public comments by public officials in Smithtown essentially saying we need to get Gyrodyne approved. Okay? And, you spend a lot of money to put in a sewer line, and it looks like you're going to have a good outlet for it. But, again, the tail wagging the dog. One good reason, discharge of sewage, is not supposed to be the whole picture here, especially when now, like I said, a couple months ago, Smithtown asked the county to explore other locations for sewage discharge. So I think that at least the town of Smithtown, if they were honest about it, the government would say, yes, we really are looking at other alternatives here. We don't see that Gyrodyne has to be approved so that Lake Avenue can have a sewage treatment plant.
You know, another concern that our organization has is that there's what's called cumulative impact as well. And so what happens is when developments are looked at, and this is one of the things that was supposed to be reviewed and considered in the application process, is the idea of what's going on in this community, what's the cumulative impact. And so when we look at undeveloped sites that are potentially going to be developed, Gyrodyne's property is not the only one. If you consider, if you continue further down 25A in an eastward direction, on the right side before you get to Stony Brook Road, there's kind of a rundown property in there that kind of looks sort of like some maybe old falling, crumbling homes. And there's a parcel in there of about 15 acres that has been purchased and is going to be developed and probably going to turn into a retirement community with a clustered home. And we don't know how what that final application is going to look like and how densely populated that's going to be. But that's going to be developed. Then the other thing we have on Mills Pond Road, so Mills Pond people and people that are living in the side streets off of that community, not only would you then have the traffic coming from Gyrodyne that you'd have to handle, but then there's Bull Run Farm, which is up for sale. And we're not sure what's happening with that property. We'd love to see that also developed into some parkland and open space. But again, the owners of the property have to have an interest in wanting to do that and participate in that. But that was another property that was possibly going to be purchased and by Benchmark and developed into assisted living. That also has kind of fallen by the wayside at the moment. We're not sure what's happening there. And then, of course, on 25A is BB and GG, which is a big farm that currently kind of has a nursery plant sale operation up by the roadside and farmland behind them. And there'll become a point where that's going to be sold as well.
Oh, boy.
And how will that get developed? So when we look at the cumulative impact of Bull Run Farm, BB and GG, Gyrodyne property, and then the church property down the hill on 25A, imagine all of those being developed in a way that would have huge amounts of traffic. Imagine what would happen to our community then. So part of the idea of creating our organization is, being community watchdogs, looking at what's being proposed and hoping to have dialogue with the towns and the entities that exist in doing smart planning for our community. But if that doesn't happen, then taking the action necessary to kind of put some pressure on to hopefully be able to sway some decision making so that maybe we end up with something that is more geared towards what the community wants.
Well, we're coming to the end of the hour, but in our last few moments, we've been discussing government getting involved, perhaps on the county level. You mentioned State Assemblyman Steve Englebright. Is it possible for the county or the state to take the lead on this?
Well, it certainly is, and we're hoping that one or both of them do. There's an organization that you may have heard of called the Peconic Land Trust. They do great work out east, and they preserve property. They buy up property, preserve it, and most often, I think, the title is then transferred to the county. There might be a split of development rights, et cetera. But the point is that sometimes when government can't move fast enough to produce the money that's necessary for the purchase of parcels like this, the Peconic Land Trust becomes the grease in the wheels, perhaps with a temporary infusion of private money that then gets reimbursed to those private people who were able to step up. Anything's possible here. The point is that we don't have the town of Smithtown on board with this. We do have legislator Robert Trotta on board, and, of course, Assemblyman Englebright and Kara Hahn, and we know about the other Brookhaven officials. And I think that it's just a matter of time until there is some kind of breakthrough in order to purchase this property. But in the meantime, like I said, time has grown so short that we have no alternative but to start this litigation.
So what has to happen within 30 days?
We have to file the lawsuit.
Okay.
Okay. and it's called an Article 78 proceeding. We're, you know, working on it now, and I'm confident that it will be filed. It's not a happy day to do that. It's going to cost the town a bunch of money, taxpayer dollars. It's going to cost Jaredine a bunch of money, and as Judy said, it's going to cost our organization a bunch of money. We have raised a whole lot of money, but litigation is expensive. Our experts are expensive. And if anyone is listening to this and is at all inclined to help in this cause, it would be to dig into your pocket and donate. Right on our website, you can donate. We have our post office box. You can send a check. It's the type of thing where it's frustrating to hear people coming to the party, so to speak, at the last minute when the town has already made its subdivision approval and they say on Nextdoor and other social media, how can they do this? We have to stop this. We have to, you know, they're trying to reinvent the wheel. We have not only a wheel, but we have a whole vehicle here. You know, we've been working hard on this for quite a while now,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully people are going to get serious and help to fund this cause, because this is land that should not be lost to development.
Well, let me just ask in our closing moments, someone listening to this who's not local, maybe a different part of Long Island or even a different part of the country, should they care about this, and if so, why?
Well, it's hard to say. If somebody cares about what's right, what's just, what's fair, a balance of the future for our kids and all that stuff, being able to travel through here without monumental headaches, then, yeah, I guess, because it could happen anywhere, right? And this is the kind of thing that everybody just sits back and says, oh, that's a real shame, and people get away with it.
You can do something. All of you listening can do something. That's how we formed our group. We all have jobs, we have families, we have other stuff going on in our lives, but we find the time, could be late hours of the night, to continue this fight and continue working together, and with the help of some really smart people behind the scenes who are giving us advice, we've learned the levers we need to pull to be able to be heard and create pressure. And right now, the Article 78 is the next step in our fight. It will slow the process down and hopefully allow us a chance to line up what we need to get the open land purchased.
We've been speaking with Judy Ogden and Joe Ballhofer from the St. James Head of the Harbor Neighborhood Preservation Coalition. In the last couple of seconds, please give out websites, ways people can help, and any addresses.
Sure. Well, you can always reach to your officials, especially if you're a resident of Smithtown. Please get in touch with Supervisor Wernheim or the town council members and let them know that you support the compromise plan and you'd like to see the land preserved. The other thing you can do is go to our website if you Google Save Flower Field Fairgrounds, or go to stjameshohnpc.org. You can donate there to our legal fund so we can continue the fight. Hopefully you get a lawn sign, too. Get a lawn sign out there, please.
Okay, Judy, Joe, it's been great talking to you, and best of luck with the campaign. It's been very inspirational for people that have been watching and just seeing the developments. And hopefully this development will be turned into something positive.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
Yes, thank you very much.
All right. And that's going to do it for us here tonight on WUSB Stony Brook. We'll talk to you again next week. Good night.
They paid paradise and put up a parking lot. A pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always go to show? You never know what you got till it's gone. They pay paradise, they put up a parking lot. They took all the trees, they put them in a tree museum. They charge the people a dollar and a half just to see them. Don't it always go to show? You never know what you got till it's gone. If paradise, the fruit of a parking lot. Hey, farmer, farmer, put away that DDT. Give me spots on my apples and leave me the birds and the bees, please. Don't it always go to show? You never know what you got till it's gone. It ain't paradise, the fruit of a parking lot. Late last night, I heard my screen door slam. A big yellow bulldozer took away the house and land. Don't it always go to show? You never know what you got till it's gone. It ain't paradise, the fruit of a parking lot. It ain't paradise, the fruit of a parking lot. It ain't paradise, the fruit of a parking lot. It ain't paradise, the fruit of a parking lot.